Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown are made for Melbourne. The Chrissy, Sam and Brownie podcast.
Hello, podcasters. Thank you so much for giving us your ears. Sam Pang and Jonathan Brown have had to dash off. So I'm here with the one and only Tony Martin.
Yeah, thank you. Where are they? What's going on?
Oh, I've locked them in a giant tea chest outside.
Okay.
So that I can be alone with you.
It felt very nice. What about, here's something we did one time when I came on the show, and we haven't done it for a while, is reading out letters from the Herald Sun.
Oh, God, okay. Can the local read, paper. Local paper.
You've got to do the voice. Listen to this. This is from Carmel of Hampton in today's Herald Sun. Chadston is too big. A lack of frequent and obvious directional signage doesn't help. I spent 30 minutes looking for the new Hoyts complex and gave up in the end. It's time to rain in Chadston, Melbourne.
Can you imagine Carmel just miserable driving around the car park and then just going, stuff it.
Where's I can't find Hoyts? Bugger you, Dr. Strange. I'll just have to miss out.
Can I tell you, there is a lot about me and Carmel that is similar.
Yeah.
I am that person that just goes, bugger it, I'm going home. But don't you go home.
No.
We've got a great podcast for you. Dino's pitch, of course.
Gold.
This was interesting, and it's got a very special guest that Melbourne podcasters will know very, very well. Andrew Gaze popped in.
Yes.
And I think what I learnt from our interview with Andrew Gaze today is that obviously he and Sam Pang have a long-standing relationship, which explains the blatant disrespect from Pang to Andrew Gaze. He only roasts the ones he loves, Tony.
Yeah. You know his hero is Don Rickles.
Yes, I do.
Younger listeners might not know who that is.
They will, because he's the voice of the dinosaur from Toy Story.
That's right. Yeah.
So there you go. But he, of course, is more than that. We also celebrate the anniversary of the severing of John Bobbitt's penis.
Yes.
We talk pot smokers and Raymar. The legendary Alf Stewart from Home and Away came in and proved that really he should take out the Gold Logie every single year.
Yeah, that's right. I think he'll be coming back on this show somehow.
I hope so.
But you know what the problem with this show is? It's too big. I can't find anything in this show.
Please, come over here. Here's the exit.
Oh, yes, rain it in.
Enjoy your podcast. Yeah.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Dear listeners, I wish that you could see what I see. Is that Guy Sebastian song? Yes, it is. Our men here, Jonathan Brown, Samuel Pang.
Yeah.
They've obviously got a job
interview.
They've got a job interview over at Triple M after this, and they are dressed up.
Hey.
Like you cannot believe.
We're in the saddle up, Pang. You got a long lunch today.
Oh, yes.
Hot AF.
What about how low the bar is when it comes to fashion with us and doing radio? If we have shirts on, you're all of a sudden, who's getting married today? Like, you're unbelievable. But, yeah, so we're off to, straight after the show, we have to go to Sydney, two of us.
Yes.
Maybe you can, because the reason I would give is for no apparent reason, but you may have something. Is there a genuine reason we're going?
It's a Nova media lunch.
It's a Nova media lunch, and I would ordinarily be going with you, but of course it is my beautiful son's birthday today. Little Leo.
Owen, whatever his name
is. Leo.
Happy birthday, Leo.
And what a beautiful day it was for me. I just spoke to him and I said, you know, it's a very special day for me too, because it was the day I became a mummy.
It's a beautiful day as well.
Yes. You know what? That's right, often forgotten.
My first baby.
And that's why Sam and myself will be three sheets to the wind at about 8 o'clock tonight. Celebrating Leo's birthday.
Let's drink to Leo.
Happy birthday.
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.
It's very exciting.
In radio they say, try and talk with a smile in your voice. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
It's very 80s.
Yes.
But if anyone's got a natural smile in their voice, it's Gazy.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't know. I may have slightly missed that memo.
I think you missed that memo. That's right.
Weren't listening.
Gazy, yeah, we got Gavin Gazy on the phone because, of course, Brownie, man, he's cut and run. An icon of Melbourne. Melbourne Tigers, the Gaze family.
Yep. He's a turncoat.
Coaching in Sydney. Coaching the Sydney Kings.
Mm. Mm.
Can you believe that, Chrissy Swan?
I'm outraged.
Oh, but don't do it with a smile on your face. That doesn't work. It doesn't work if you're outraged with a smile on your face. You've taken that one too far, that radio memo from the 1980s.
It's the only way I know how to be.
He is one of the great men. in sport, Andrew Gaze. He's so likable. Yeah, so likable.
Oh, God. You know, in sport, everyone's a great man. You know that, don't you? Oh, look out. Here he is, the great man.
I would have thought if you won the equivalent of 7 Brownlows in the National League, it's pretty impressive. You're a great man.
All right, then.
And that's what Andrew Gaze did.
I'm with Brownie on this one, Pang.
Well, you're both entitled to your opinion. Hey, how long you had a mobile phone?
I got my first one when I was 21 for my 21st.
Wow.
So about 75 years.
You got the same number?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Big fella, how many you have? You would have gone through them like kids on the corner in The Wire.
Mobiles
just throwing them every, you know, two calls and then you'd get rid of them, wouldn't you? How many
mobiles
you had?
Mobiles or numbers?
Mobiles.
I've been through quite a few. I remember on Slab Day once.
what a great start to a story.
Stock down.
Slab Day, probably. Yeah.
What is Slab Day?
Well, it's where all my mates get together in Warrnambool. Remember the time I fell off the balcony swing?
Yes.
Me and all my mad mates from Warrnambool, we get together and we chip away at a few. We have a couple of beers and I'd had a few stubbies and one of the boys.
But why is it called Slab Day specifically?
We just bring a few slabs and we just entertain ourselves. And
because one of them ends up on a slab at the end of the day.
And
this occasion it was Brownie.
I got in a wrestle with the boys, WWF style, and body slammed him into the pool and forgot that the phone was in my pocket. So I lost that one.
Big news.
Didn't work that well.
Big news next week. Big news next week in the mobile phone world. Have a listen to this.
More than 100,000 mobile phone users will lose their service when Telstra closes down its 2G network next week. It was introduced back in 1993 when Paul Keating was Prime Minister.
But frankly, my dad is not speaking to anybody about this because first it was the bank card. Remember bank card?
Yeah.
The big rainbow B
that
went. How the bloody hell is he going to pay for anything without a bank card? That's right. I'm like, have you heard of MasterCard? And he is big on the 2G network. Big on it.
I didn't realise it was still around.
You wouldn't even know 2G, would you? Why would you have even heard of 2G?
No. Oh, my first phone was in 2000.
By the way, is your dad, just ask me, just to answer me this, still going to town to pay his bills?
Correct.
Right, knew it.
Queuing up at the post office with cash.
Yeah, you know, still does that. Billy Brown still does that.
What?
Pays with everything via checkbook.
What? Checkbook? Remember they used to always give you a checkbook and you never, I just used to write like $4 million and sign it. They were just like play money.
The only good checks are the novelty checks.
Yeah.
You know, the giant ones.
Giant ones.
Hey, so that's big news, the 2G network. Next Thursday, we'd have to acknowledge that and cover that next week. But you'd be happy to know, though, that Telstra they're taking all steps to make sure that the transition is as easy as possible for their customers.
If they're on a 2G, we have actually sent a number of customers a free customer care package, and that provides a phone in the bag. If a customer is on a 2G SIM, we will migrate them across free of charge to a 3G SIM.
Migrants? I don't like migrants. Don't want anything to do with it.
I reckon that's not bad customer service. I don't know what that was. What was that? Was that Resort Crocodile?
No, but no.
What was that?
That's old person still on 2G.
Well, anyway, old
their
people.
Their old ideas and their
old people
phones.
Like your dad should be happy to know that Telstra are looking after them and they sent out a package.
That's nice.
That is nice. They were going to text everyone, but the Telstra network was down. Also, do you care? What are you worried that these people, who's going to, they won't be able to play Snake. Does anyone care?
Loss. That is the big loss.
That should be released as just a game on its own.
Did you know I've got a fun fact for you? Because I spoke about Snake last week for some reason.
First hour?
First hour.
No, didn't really happen then.
There is an app. There is an app of Snake and you can get it on your phone.
My daughter is playing it.
Yeah.
At the moment, when she grabs me phone playing Snap.
You can hear 2G users everyone going, what? What's an app? What are you talking about?
Okay, Dinos. Pitch. Listen to me, I've got 11 years of radio experience. I'm a veteran. Dino's pitch. Ow! They don't put wings on anyone's hat.
Dino's pitch.
Sing it, Dino's pitch.
Dino's pitch.
Dino's pitch.
Dino's pitch.
Yes.
Dino's pitch.
My pitch.
It's your pitch.
Quick recap, Chrissy Swan, go.
This is where we let Dino pitch his ideas for the show. to us, because as he will tell you himself, he's an 11-year veteran.
Mate, he's got ideas, and we're out of them by Friday.
Mate, he has come up with some rippers. Know you, Stefanovics.
Started here.
That is Dino.
Hanging with Pete Smith, one of our more popular segments. It's only been heard once, but that was here. All right.
Hey, he's had a hot streak. He has been on fire the last three or
so. I'll just go to the phone because he texted me these, and it says, let me open it. Here we go. Chrissy, Sam and Brownie, High Court.
Now, Pangy, this one is actually a ripper.
You say love that every week.
Love it, Dino.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie, High Court.
Doo-doo, Chrissy, Sam and Brownie, High Court.
We're doing it.
Time for judgment, bitch.
Wow.
The last bit was a bit spicy. I
don't really like the word B-I-T-C-H.
Oh,
yeah. So it's a no from me so far.
Well, 7:24.
Yeah.
So it's all right, the kids are not in the case.
What about if you listen to it again and just kind of get the vibe of it more?
Okay.
Doo-doo, Chrissy, Sam and Brownie, High Court.
I love it. Love it.
Time for judgment, bitch.
I don't like the B word.
What if it was spelt B-I-A-R-T?
The arch.
No?
No. Do you even say time for judgment, dude?
Yep.
Oh, that is... don't let her take over your segment.
Dino,
take control.
Strong.
Thank you. This is the energy.
Dino, plow on.
Okay,
plow on.
So, what if every time there was a dispute on this show that couldn't be resolved, what if we could get a final ruling from an external source?
Okay, so who would the external... For starters, there's one problem is that we actually don't have any disputes,
but
we could make them up.
Who's Milo? Who's Otis? We never got to the bottom of that. There's heaps of disputes.
Oh, okay, so the hard-hitting stuff. Mm. And who would the outside source be?
I'm not going to reveal that just yet. Would you guys be willing to sign a document to give this person the power for full judgment?
Yes. Yep. I'm in, Dana. You've got me, mate.
I would. Yes, I would. Pang.
Yep.
You've got to be on board.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I play bridge with this guy, and I think he's the right person. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Who's this?
Well, the first thing I need to say is this is the Honourable Peter Hitchener presiding.
What?
Good morning, Hitch.
Good morning. It's very good to talk to you all. You're all in good form. I heard that intro, I must say. The first thing that came to mind was, I say, steady on.
Steady on. Sure,
sure.
Man, this really sounds like the voice that goes with time for judgment, bitch, doesn't it?
So just well, so judge, yes, for judge no, Peter Hitchener.
Order. So, Hitch, what if...
I am the law on. Yes, go for it.
No, please continue what you're going to say.
Well, I was going to say, I'm the law on all disputes. For example, I've ruled that Pang would be Otis and Brownie would be Milo.
Bang!
Yes!
That's just the way I roll. Yeah.
Wow, well, that's controversial.
I knew I was Milo.
Yeah. Did you just hear Hitch say, that's the way I roll? Yeah, you heard that? No, I just want to make sure.
Well, and also, somebody asked me to rule on whether Brownie retired 2 years too late. No, I'm sorry, I can't go along with that one. I think we should still be paying for this mail.
Wow. Thank you, Hitch. There you go.
See, a definitive answer on all disputes with the Honourable Judge Peter Hitchener.
Yep, that's it.
What do we think?
I've got one that you can settle now.
Yep.
Today's the anniversary of John and Lorena Bobbitt and the thing with the...
Oh,
yep.
No.
So... If I'm talking about it, should I say penis or should I use doodle?
I say steady on.
Inconclusive, Hitch? Inconclusive.
I'd say change the subject and think about some other.
That's a hung jury.
Hey! Hey! See what he did there? Hey,
order, bloody order.
Well, so, look,
I'm pretty happy.
I'm pretty happy with it.
Mate.
As long as Hitch understands that we're just going to have to call him at least once a show to get his ruling.
No, it's only for big disputes like Milo and Otis. Did Brownie retire too? Like stuff like that.
Ah, yes, you bet. Love it. Sounds fantastic. And all I can say is looking forward to a bridge with Bert and Patty tonight, Dino.
Oh, yeah, be fun. I'll pick you up at 8, brother.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Okay, so straight up, Mariah Carey is my spirit animal. I know I say that about Adele, but that's like a real thing. I love Adele, but Mariah Carey, she is just out of control, over the top.
She spirit animal, as in you're a fan.
I love her. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
She's objectionable and upper self and all that, but I just enjoy her. I enjoy her.
I like
Mariah.
I liked a lot of her early stuff, right?
I think
the song Hero. I'd like that played at my funeral as the casket's being wheeled out of the church. But
would you also like your casket filled with bacon?
Why?
So that when it goes through the crematorium, everyone goes, yum, delicious.
Genius.
I knew you'd love that.
Throw it in.
Thank you. Any more on Mariah before I talk about her?
Did you see her in the car with Courtney? Half crackers.
I think Jackie says cooked. Is that specifically a drug reference or is that just a general behaviour?
Like they're crazy, they're cooked.
General behaviour.
Oh, yeah, cooked.
No, cooked's drug related.
Anyway, she went on Ellen and she wasn't cooked. She was heaven. She turned up in a silky red gown and then in front of everybody shimmied out of it to reveal just almost, she was almost wearing nothing and her big buzzies were out and she was just magnificent. And then she arranged her hair extensions around her cleavage, you know, as they do with the fake nails, you know, that look.
I used to do that.
They learnt it from you. It's called the pang. Anyway, Ellen.
She stole that off me, that move.
Ellen, of course, brought up James Packer and things got awkward, but I think we get an insight into why they really did break up.
You know, everything happens for a reason. Things are the way they are.
But he didn't want to be in the docuseries at all, and yet he's in it. You see him, is he...
Allegedly.
Allegedly he didn't want to be in it.
Well...
Or allegedly he's in it. He's in it, because I saw it.
You did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of difficult to talk about at this moment, so I'm just going to compliment you on these decorations once again.
Uh-huh.
Because they are fabulous, and I'm here among them.
No comment. I reckon he just cracked it. He's like, I don't want to be in this crazy old biz with you.
Yeah.
Mimi. Do you reckon?
I do, but I don't know them at all or have met them and have no idea what their relation was. But I'm happy to say that's probably the reason.
Never stopped us before.
I can't help you, apart from the fact that myself and James have got the same hairline. We don't have much else in common, Sam.
It's not just the hairline.
That pic of Mariah is on our Instagram, Andrew Gaze.
Andrew Gaze. Ha! Gaze! A basketball legend, played for the Tigers, Spurs, and the first Australian player to play in Europe. He was in Dancing with the Stars too. I worked the after party for that as a bartender, where it was formal attire. In walks Gaze, with a shirt, jeans, and a pair of New Balance 407s. Looking like Jerry Seinfeld, there's one advantage of being 2 metres tall. No one can look down on you, and he's also just an amazing guy. Here's Andrew.
Good morning, Andrew Gaze.
Good morning, and that's inappropriate. It wasn't New Balance 407s. It was the Adidas Top 10s, I think.
Oh,
it was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Get on, Gazey.
Nice work, Gazey.
Had to clarify that.
Correction.
Plenty of support here.
Keeping sponsors happy straight off the bat, Chrissy Swan. Hey, Andrew Gaze, you know...
I know your type, Andrew Gaze.
This is a very special moment for us because growing up in this city, you think made for Melbourne. We're all about Melbourne. And to have... a man who I grew up watching play for the Melbourne Tigers and play for Australia and play in the NBA, just representing Melbourne. I always looked at Gazey on the TV and I thought, Melbourne, Brownie. And now to have him on the phone and introduce him as the coach of the Sydney Kings. Well, let's just be honest, mate. You're a traitor and you cut and run. Gazey, how's that for a start?
A traitor. I know. Well, sometimes it does feel like I've committed some sort of treason, But no, this is a fantastic opportunity and one that it would be a lot tougher doing what I'm doing with the Sydney Kings if the Melbourne Tigers were still competing in the NBL. So it's a little bit of a relief that that's the case and the Melbourne Tigers are still up and about and doing some great things in the Seabull. So it's made the challenge just that little bit easier.
Is it true that when your father, the great Lindsay Gaze, heard the news, he turned in his grave? Is that right?
Well,
be a bit disappointed if he's turning into his grave because he's still very much alive and kicking and doing some tremendous things, Sam.
Are you sure, Gazy? You seen him lately?
He's probably not as mobile as he once was, but he's still in very, very fine health. Had to get his blessing before I took this job.
Also, Gazy, before I hand you over to Chrissy and Brandon, I just want you to clarify this on Nova Radio. Is it true that you are older than your dad?
He's probably healthier. I'll give him that much.
All right.
No, he's just got me.
Is this good cop, bad cop, Sam?
No. I love this.
Hey, guys, how's it going to be the homecoming on Saturday night? You play Melbourne United at Hisense, 7:30 Saturday night. How's it going to be? Get a bit of flack from the crowd?
No, well, we played there a couple of weeks ago, and we fortunately got the win, and it was great. You know, it was an amazing atmosphere. It was a full house, and they're a very educated crowd. And the basketball, really, it's the hotbed of hoops is Victoria, and in particular Melbourne, and they understand the game. And obviously, I've been there for a long, long time, and so a lot of people in the stands I recognise, good friends, they're either former Tiger fans or just fans of the game. So they're very, very respectful, but nevertheless, very passionate about supporting Melbourne United. So it does present a bit of a tough environment for us, but we're up to the challenge a couple of weeks ago. A lot different this time because it's a lot different team with your boy. I think Chris Golding comes on your station quite a bit, so he's back and firing, so it's going to be a real tough assignment.
Wrong station, Gazy, wrong station. Hasn't been on.
I've got a couple of questions, Gazy. You always strike me as such a happy, smiling fellow. You make me happy when I see you.
Oh, good. That's a compliment.
And I just want, what star sign are you?
I'm a Leo.
Oh, you're a Leo.
Yeah, 24th of July. Only just
a Leo.
So
what are Leos known for?
Leos are known for their incredible charm, but also their absolutely faltering desire to lead and win. They're incredibly competitive.
Really?
I like it. Yeah, that's a good characteristic in the cape that we're in. So hopefully there's something to that.
They're also known for aging terribly.
Hey,
and Gazy, how's coaching going? How's this, you've been a player and in the media for so long. How's the transition to being a coach gone?
Yeah, well, I was in the media and doing other things. I was still coaching at the junior level and some lower levels than the NBL. But it's been really good. I think that the absolute key to being a good coach is to recruit very, very good players.
Yes.
And I've got a few of those that can help me out with what we've got to this season. So it's been pretty good. Oh, obviously, there's a bit of adjustment, and I've got some great assistants in Leonard Copeland and Dean Dickerman, and Luke Kendall is another one that is on our staff. So it's been really good. They've been real helpful and helping me, and I'm learning a lot as much as hopefully I'm trying to teach them a few things as well.
Speaking about coaching, Gazy, I've noticed from my limited exposure to professional sport, coaches wear all sorts of different clothes, and like the AFL coaches turn up quite relaxed and casual to the games,
mm-hmm.
and basketball and sometimes soccer coaches wear a full suit with a tie.
Yeah.
What's that about? Why is that? Why do you have to wear a suit? Who are you fooling?
I think it's something that just traditionally, primarily in the United States, that if you look at all the NBA coaches, that they're always in suits, and same with at the college ranks, they do the same. It's out here. A lot of the coaches wear the polos and do stuff that they can help promote sponsors and that type of thing.
Yeah.
But our owner, he was big on just the look and how he wanted his staff to look. So if he wanted me to wear a dress with pink polka dots, I would, because he's the owner, he's the boss, and you know, it doesn't really particularly worry
me. That's the way, Gazy.
Good company, man, Gazy, by the way.
Yeah.
But hopefully in retro round, Gazy will be inspired by Tommy Hafey and just wear the tight T-shirt.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yes.
Hey, can I just
show the gun?
I just want to, you know, I muck around, but this man played, it was an inspiration for a young man who liked basketball growing. He went to the NBA and played in America's Chrissy Swan before it was in vogue, right? And one of his coaches was Greg Popovich from the San Antonio Spurs, Gazy. A big influence on you, I believe. I just wanted to play everyone. This is how Greg Popovich handles handles the media. Have a listen to this.
Welcome back to San Antonio. Pop, your assessment of how you're playing through three quarters.
Too many fundamental errors.
What must improve?
More attention to detail.
Thank you.
Mike. Right? Out. That's the reporter on the short and sharp. Yep. This is how Gazy handles the media during a game when Shane the Hammer Heel sideline reporter asks him a question.
Well, you can't let them offensive rebound. Seven offensive rebounds in the first quarter. That is too many. And the second shot's there. There's not enough possessions in this game for us. They're using it 16 seconds plus every time. We've got to create from our defense more scoring options so we can get the game at a higher tempo. That's the goal, but they take such good care of the ball. How do we do that, Hammer? Get back to your players, mate. Good luck in the second half.
The sideline reporter's wrapping you up, Gazy.
Oh, dear.
Gazy, we love you. See Melbourne United. Come on, United. CG and the boys versus Sydney Kings this Saturday night at Hisense Arena. Tickets at ticketmaster.com.au.
Good on you, coach.
Thanks very much, guys. Thanks a lot.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
It's time for my diary, Swan. But in a bit of a development, people who have listened to the diary over the year would have come to know our program director, Rowan, our much maligned program director in my diary.
Much maligned.
Well, whenever we hear about him in your diary, it's all about how he's complaining about Dino.
Yeah, so this week, by the way, he hasn't, you know, as usual, not much time spent in his office. Mm. So I popped in there the other day and found his diary.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm just going to read his Rowan's diary, if that's all right.
He's very rarely here, isn't he?
Well, that's exactly
He's normally at the pub or a long lunch. Or...
just anywhere but here. Yeah. So anyway, here's a special edition.
Rowan's diary.
That's right, our program director, our boss.
Our boss. Does he know that you found his diary?
If you're asleep in a park right now, he would know. Monday. 5:55 a.m. Driving into work, I can't think of a better time for a cheeky cold one.
5:55 a.m.
Brownie must be rubbing off on me because this morning I go with a Carlton draft stubby. The glass bottle in my hand comforts me like a warm blanket as I prepare for another week of dealing with this breakfast show, Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. I couldn't actually listen to the show today due to my court appearance. I'm pretty sure the baby's not mine, but this Casanova girl is saying differently. Time will tell.
Sam.
Moving on. Tuesday. Driving into work, gently nursing a UDL, vodka and passion fruit, I look forward to the guests on the show this morning, Dr. Chris Brown and Megan Gale. While there's obviously some unresolved sexual tension between Gale and Pang, that paled in comparison to the sexual tension between Dr. Chris Brown and himself.
Oh, how very dare he?
He's a nice fella.
Another hilarious joke from Channel 10 weatherman Mike Larkin.
And in Sydney, where a guy keeps walking into a mirror, he needs to watch himself, 31.
So, Ro loves Mike Larkin's jokes.
I'm just reading here. A truly talented man who, unlike this breakfast show, delivers every day.
Consistent.
Speaking of Channel 10, Sam reported that the plush sofa traffic chopper had been shot out of the sky.
Time for another look at the traffic. It's back to Jimmy.
Thank you, Stephen. We're hovering over the bolts here in the plush sofa's traffic chopper.
As Jimmy, Channel 10's traffic reporter, and the chopper went down, all I could think was, geez, I wish Dino was in that chopper.
Wow. Dino, are you okay? Because these are the innermost thoughts of your boss.
Look, at this point, yeah.
You're right, okay.
Hello, Jimmy.
Dino's been a thorn in my side ever since being given his own segment, Dino's Pitch. Dino's Pitch. What about Rowan's Pitch? I keep telling them I've got good ideas. Secret sound, battle of the sexes, prank calls in an Indian accent, but they never listen.
No. Why?
Instead, so far this week, I've had to listen to references to Come On, Aussie, Come On, Brewster's Millions and Chubby Checker. It's like they don't care about our demographics or key performance indicators at all. Wednesday, Swan.
Wednesday.
Bump day.
Bump day. And you know.
Great show.
Oh! But we always say it's not a great show.
I'm just reading here. Bump
There's
day.
Problems.
Great show. Fifi, Dave and Feb are on fire. Brandon Favola, what a talent. His ability to get so much out of so little always amazes me. I mean, it's November. Who would have thought he'd have another hilarious anecdote about his time in the jungle? Brownie played 15 years of AFL football and was out of material by early April. It's plain for all to see. We got the wrong one.
We got the wrong one.
Reluctantly caught up with our show on the podcast. Not a great show. Hard to pick the low point. Was it Sam and Brownie fighting over which one was Milo and which one was Otis?
I believe I'm Milo.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, no you're not. I'm Milo. Big fella thinks he's Milo. I'm Milo. Anyone could see us would know I'm Milo. That's right. Both thought they were Milo. And I'm pretty sure that neither of them realised that Milo was the cat and Otis was the dog.
A bit of an oversight.
The brain's trust.
Two grown men arguing over who was more like Milo. I'm wise to hitch my wagon to their star. Was that the worst part of the show, or was it the lame and oldest call-in topic in the history of radio, how do you get to sleep? Only saved by one of our callers, Russ, who said what we're all thinking.
How do you get to sleep?
I'll record that last segment and just keep playing it, though.
Good on you, Ross.
Thursday. Decided to mix things up a bit this morning with four shots of Black Sambuca lined up on the dashboard of the car as I drove into work. Oh, that was sweet. But not as sweet as the director of First Blood Weekend at Bernie's and Wake in Fright, the one and only Ted Kotcheff coming into the studio. A legend of cinema with so many stories to tell. And what did Pang do? Ask him about a movie that he didn't direct. You'd had nothing to do with Weekend at Bernie's 2, did you, Ted?
No.
No, because I remember the tagline for Weekend at Bernie's 2 was, Bernie's back and he's still dead. I had no alternative but to pull Sam in for a stern talking to. He seemed to take it in the right spirit and promised me that I would never be the butt of his jokes and he would have respect for me in the position that I hold. Friday, 5:55 a.m. Traditionally, Friday is the day I gently ease the cork out of a nice bottle of Shiraz as I drive into work. But I thought I'd take it up another level and try opium. Chasing the dragon is something I could really get used to. It's so good being program director at Nova. On one hand, I get to share the spoils of victory despite having nothing to do with it, and in fact doing everything in my power to undermine the creative process. And on the other hand, completely unaccountable when it goes wrong. What a sweet ride it is. Anyway, gotta go. Off to a job interview at Triple M.
Diary before he realises you found it.
I'll get it back. I'll get it back into the office before he gets in there, so like I've got till about Wednesday.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Morning, Melbourne. Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. It's Friday.
Means one thing.
Tony Martin. Welcome to the show, T. Martin.
Thanks, guys. Jeez, I was laughing on the way in. I tell you, Fev's diary is hilarious, but...
God.
But on this show...
Wait, are you guys trying to kill us?
What's wrong with you, Tony?
All of you advertise support. The other shows. Come on.
They're fictional. They're just... They don't exist. I did hear Peter Hitchener on this show.
Yes, you did.
He's gold, isn't he?
He is gold. And in a new role in our show, the official High Court judge. That's
very nice. But he has a... He has a great Twitter, Ricky. Do you follow Peter Hitchener on Twitter?
Yes.
He's so Melbourne, isn't he?
Yes.
There's nothing more Melbourne than Peter Hitchener's Twitter account. It's just him doing classic photos of him doing classic Melbourne things, train surfing on the Frankston Line, setting an illegal fire in the Dandenongs, realising that he will never be able to afford to buy a house in his lifetime. Things everyone in Melbourne can identify with.
Did you see his latest tweet?
What was it?
It's just him getting carjacked by an Apex gang member. It's unbelievable.
And they're both just doing the thumbs up.
Made for Melbourne.
Well, I loved how Hitch done it really tough when he started at Channel 9.
Yes, I know.
On a very small wage, he bought a house in Toorak in 1979.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made
made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Here to talk movies again. This segment.
Excuse me.
Doesn't have a theme.
We're talking movies.
Pardon me. It does have a theme.
Yes, it does.
Thought of you yesterday at time, speaking of movies, when the great Ted Kotcheff was in here,
Ted
the
Kotcheff.
Director of. First Blood, Waking at Bernie's, Wake in Fright, and you know.
North Dallas 40, that's a football movie. Brownies.
That is a football movie with Nick Nolte in it.
Very good.
And a legendary, they reckon the best football movie, American football movie ever made.
And that's really? The one where the footballers yeah. just constantly injecting their knees with things.
That's right.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, that's a good one. But they
used to play for Essendon.
Did you mention Weekend of Bernie's 2 to him?
Yeah,
I did.
He wasn't connected. He's disowning that
yeah.
because, I mean, I have never seen Weekend of Bernie's 2, but I'm fascinated by it because it's 2 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, surely he's a skeleton. I mean, how...
Can you imagine how on the nose Bernie Lomax would be after
in number two
years in the Florida sun?
It's just not as funny.
They stuck him in a fridge for 2 years.
Oh
mate.
It's not as funny as skeleton being dragged behind a speedboat.
No. I wonder if you know how sometimes we do that thing where, you know, you call up and you... talk about things in movies that don't make sense
yes.
to you. I wonder if we'd ever get a call from somebody that says, look, how I don't understand, it's very annoying.
Hello, this is Ted Kotcheff.
Yes. why is Bernie not a decomposing mess?
Well,
it's an issue.
We are going to do that again because I've been stopped in the street by people because we've been doing this. Things in movies that don't make sense to
yeah.
you. People saying, when are you going to do the third of those Dark Knight movies?
Ooh. What do you mean?
Remember, there were just so many things in that. The police were underground for 2 months.
Yeah.
They couldn't come out. They came out, their clothes perfectly ironed. Commissioner Gordon, walking up the street, falls down a manhole, just happens to land where Bane is, like, on a computer doing his taxes underground. He's commanded the entire underground of a massive city the size of New York. Commissioner Gordon just happens to fall down a manhole into his lap.
Wow, I hadn't noticed these things.
How does Bruce Wayne get back from Africa to Gotham City, given that even the American government can't get into Gotham City? And his back is shattered, and he just wanders in. What's going on? What have I missed?
His back got fixed.
Yes.
I think it's it's a certain person that harbours these deep-seated burning questions about movies. And if you are one of those people, here is your chance. What is it in a movie that is driving you crazy because it doesn't make any sense? We're talking movies!
We are... THX, just before we go to the callers, Brownie, what is your vote for the worst film of all time?
Master of Disguise. Only lasted 30 minutes.
What was your problem with it?
Mate, everything.
This is Dana Carvey. It's around about the year 2000. What I remember about that film is they made it and they edited it and it only went an hour.
What?
And like, this is true. Like, went 60 minutes and they're going, we can't put out a one-hour movie. So if you have a look, the end credits go, and I'm not joking, 20 minutes.
No.
There's like bloopers and outtakes, and the credits are moving so slow that even if you fast-forward it on your TV, they appear not to be moving.
I didn't stay that long. They should have just cut it down to nothing from 60 minutes to zero.
But look, we're talking about things that don't make sense in movies. There seems to be a lot of people.
Yes.
Janelle from Mill Park, a classic. Talk us through Grease.
Okay, this is a movie I must have watched 1,000 times when I was younger, and every time I watched it, you'll know what I'm talking about. When Danny and Sandy get in the car at the end of the movie and drive off into the sky, and all their friends are waving to them.
Wait a minute. It's like, hang on a minute. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang rebooted. Like, it totally is possible.
And then I read something online that the characters were dead and it was a fabrication or something, so I don't know what's going on with that.
I saw that movie. If only they were dead, that would have been great.
And the ghostly child from Three Men and a Baby was hovering.
Yeah.
We can't really expect sort of neo-realism from Greece, I don't think.
I would have preferred it if Danny and Sandy in that car had ended that movie in a Thelma and Louise fashion tone. That would have been handy.
Can we, just before we move on, Dino, obviously, during that discussion, he found a button on his console that said Grease.
I just keep thinking, is his phone going off?
And he's hit it. He's taken a risk and he's hit it. But it's not as long as he'd like. So have a listen. Have a listen to all he got.
Yeah.
He wanted it to be the whole song. Didn't you, Dino?
That's all I got. All right. What do you want?
Thank you,
Janelle. Duly noted, Michelle from Franger South. Michelle.
Hello, Chrissy.
Talk to me about what's annoying you in movies.
Okay, so this is in all movies and it drives my husband nuts. Cups are always empty.
Agreed. Why?
There's never anything in them. They're like, my husband watches and goes, see? Mm. It's empty.
Yeah, it's because the actors don't want to put on weight. Like, if you look at, seriously, if you look at a movie where ever people are sitting around a table eating food, camera always cuts away just as the fork is going up to
someone's mouth. Every eating scene for me.
Except for when they're in a bar scene, the beers are always full. And I know, and you know how they keep them frothy, Swan, because I've done a few beer commercials.
How do they keep them frothy?
They put salt in the flat beer.
Do they?
Froths them up.
When you say something in every movie, the one that gets my girlfriend nuts is driving and not keeping your eyes on the road. You know, when they've clearly filmed it against the green screen.
Yeah.
And then they'll be talking to someone and they'll talk to that person for like 20 seconds. My girlfriend in the cinema will be going, watch the road! Remember Dawson's Creek, the ice cream scene? Watch the road!
Problem is,
safety first!
My sister does that on the Monash Freeway.
Oh, that's a problem.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity star.
Mariah's gone on Ellen, and she's arrived in a slinky red robe and then taken it off to reveal an unbelievable outfit.
Oh, that's so Tony Martin.
is this leading to Glitter 2 is about to be announced? When is Glitter 2?
There is a God, there will be a Glitter 2. You can check her out on Instagram right now. But Ellen went there and asked her about her failed relationship with James Packer, and things got really awkward.
You know, everything happens for a reason. Things are the way they are.
But he didn't want to be in the docuseries at all, and yet he's in it. You see him, is he...
Allegedly.
Allegedly he didn't want to be in it.
Well...
Or allegedly he's in it. He's in it, because I saw it.
You did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of difficult to talk about at this moment, so I'm just going to compliment you on these decorations once again.
Uh-huh.
Because they are fabulous, and I'm here.
Okay. Among them.
There you go. You're our hero, Ellen, for trying. Eventually, we'll get to the bottom of it.
If you see the footage, she's just got that red dot from a telescopic sight on her the whole time.
Good morning, Melbourne. Raymar Alf Stewart. We can see him. He's on the other side of the studio door and he looks glorious.
He does look glorious. I said, gee, you look well, Ray. And he said, no good reason.
Black Beatles.
Raymar. He's flaming brilliant. A man who has been on Home and Away as Alf since 1988. He's also been on Prisoner in a Country Practice. A Gold Logie winner and an Australian legend. Here's Ray.
Here he is, Ray Maher. Now, we are delighted. Is this the first time we've ever met, Ray?
Yes,
a show of hands?
Yes.
Goodness gracious me. And I mean, what an intro and what a rap.
Correct.
I'm waiting for the bloke you're talking about to come through the door.
You, like, there is no one in Australia more Ray Maher than you. Like,
well, thank God for that. He get all the work.
I just look at you and you must be one of the most recognisable faces in this country.
I know I've got a lot to answer for, haven't I? I'm sorry about frightening those young children and pregnant mothers and things, but thank you for that,
How long has the run on Home and Away been now?
29 years in 3 weeks.
But you look exactly the same now as you did when you started. How is that possible? Does everybody agree?
Chrissy, I thought you were an honest woman. That's a load of rot.
He doesn't look any different to me. I would have to Google an image of you when you started on Home and Away to prove me wrong.
Good Lord.
You have always looked like you do today.
Yeah, I wish it was true, but thank you.
You're gorgeous, Ray. You're gorgeous. Thanks,
our mate. Kate Ritchie, who works in Nova in, National Nova, our drive show, she was Sally on Home and Away, one of your favourite characters.
She was indeed. I haven't seen Ritchie for a little while, but we catch up every now and again, and it's always great to see.
She's now an elderly woman, and you look exactly the same.
I must remind her of that. Yeah, she'd love it. And I noticed you earlier talking about actors and and the cutaway shots when people are about to put food in their mouths because actors don't want to get fat. Hey, have a look at this. You know, I mean, really and truly, that cutaway is about actors not wanting to try to talk with a mouthful.
He's deliberately ruining takes so he can get more in there.
Ray's method, if there's food there, he's going to eat it. Ray, when did you win the Gold Logie? What year was that?
1832. God, it was a packed year. There was a lot of competition. Yeah.
Wait, because Tone, do you remember? I remember. I'll never forget this. Do you remember the tweet that you sent out after Ray won his Gold Logie?
No, I don't. Was it the defamatory?
No, it was Ray Marwin's Gold Logie. Next stop, Hollywood. Because how old were you when you won the Gold Logie?
65, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, and that's a long time ago, so I'll let you guess, Sam, as to how old we are right now. Okay, try something with a 7 and a 2 in it.
20. No, I won't do it. But what about Brownie? Oh, but you know you're dying to ask Ray.
Oh, of course.
Your big question.
The actor question.
Of course I am. Now, Ray, I started this question off with Samuel L. Jackson on our first ever interview, and I thought it was a very good question. Not sure Sam agreed with this, but...
Oh, well, I don't think anyone's agreed with you since.
How do you remember your lines?
With great difficulty. Samuel L. Jackson and I probably are very similar. We're probably around about the same age, a slightly different colour, but equally talented. No, mate, look, lines are just those things. If it's well-written and conversational, it's fairly easy. If there's a whole lot of place names and people's names in the thing, it's like being back at school studying for an exam. You know, you've got to flog it into your head. But if it's conversational and well-written, which never happens on our show, of course, we're not going to be accused of that. No. I didn't say that.
By the way, can I say, Ray, is there any chance of you doing any classic Samuel L. Jackson roles, do you think? Can someone get these flaming snakes off this flaming plane? springs to mind.
If he had said something like that, the flaming snakes would have got off the flaming plane. You know? I mean, I could help him a lot if I wanted to do a remake of it.
Of course, when you think of classic Samuel L. Jackson roles, you think of his performance in those Bet365 ads. They are timeless. Hey, one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to you, Ray, was Alf Stewart, an original cast member of Home and Away. I was looking at all the jobs your character, Alf, has had on Home and Away.
And I thought he just worked in a shop.
Right, well, there you go. Yeah. Sam's going to tell us otherwise. I can feel it coming on.
Do you remember the first job Alf had?
No. I can remember walking into the studio about 3 minutes ago, Sam. Further back than that,
all right,
forget
this
it.
This is what it's listed. Now, it's not in any order, but just some word association or just any memories of these occupations that Alf Stewart's had on Home and Away. Love Caravan it. Park owner.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Can you remember how much the difference between on site and a van was? Yeah, cabin.
The difference or the price?
In price. Yeah, the price difference.
You want your van on site, eh? You bring your own van. It's not going to cost you anywhere near as much if you use one of mine, eh? I mean, fair dinkum.
Bottle shop owner, Ray.
Yep, man's got to have a drink.
What was the bottle shop?
It was a funny little shop. It was a great little set, actually, and it was very busy. And I used to meet either Fisher or Tom Fletcher 100 years ago. Come in and have a yarn and chew the fat and, you know, solve the problems of the world.
That's something that you have in common with Sam Pang.
Really?
Because he used to work in a bottle shop for a very long time.
Ah, okay.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times. I really...
Nice to be close to the product, Sam.
It is, right.
Didn't you win Best Newcomer at the bottle shop?
The only thing, the till started balancing up once I left, that's all I said. Hey, bait shop owner.
Oh, what was that about?
Well, you've got to put something on the end of the line, haven't you? I'm often seen fishing on the beach and... people say, do you ever catch anything? And it's a resounding no, unless they put something on the end of the line before I throw it in. I own a bait shop. Yeah.
You know your way around a Kelvinator deep freeze then?
Absolutely.
General store owner? General store owner. What's that? Seems pretty broad.
Yeah, I forget when that was, but I did have the equivalent of Coles or Woolies in Summer Bay. It wasn't quite as big. the turnover wasn't quite as great, and we didn't try and take over every bottle shop within Cooey. You know?
But this seems to be a lot of jobs already. Is Alf all right? Is Alf okay?
He is creaming it. Alf's great. Actually, coming into your studio studio today. I thought I saw the blokes down there putting a concrete floor down and things. I don't have to get a plane for another hour or so. I could probably help them finish that if you know before.
Yeah, would you do that? They've been going for too long. Yeah.
So many jobs. What about Mossad Assassin? Remember that? That was a very strange series.
That was when Home and Away turned dark. That was unbelievable. I'll just keep going. Surf Club committee member?
Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to run it.
Co-owner of the beachside diner?
I've been busy.
Barman? Where? Oh, yeah. Where at?
Yes, excellent question. Moving right along.
The last one, he just says here, fisherman. I don't think that's an occupation. That's just a hobby of Alf's, isn't it?
It can be an occupation if you sell them after you catch them.
And this last one here, Tony, Apex gangmember. That was a tough time in Summer Bay, but anyway.
Apex gangmember.
No, don't say that. Stop there, Al. Let's stop there, Ray.
He's not from around here.
Okay.
Raymar, thank you so much for coming in. You are an absolute legend, and we're absolutely delighted to have you here.
And played rugby union for Queensland as well at senior level.
Look at him go.
Don't try and turn your viewers off. They'd know nothing about rugby union. So, but thank you very much, Chrissy. Impressed. It's wonderful, and it's been great to be here. I've never been in the studio with you guys before, and it's an absolute pleasure.
Please don't be a stranger and bring some cockles next time. Home and Away, 7 PM Monday to Thursday on Channel 7. Raymar, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
Well, hello there, Melbourne. It's Friday. We all made it. We love a Friday.
We got there. It's been a pretty good week. The weather's turned sour again, Swan, but it's given us a glimpse of summer.
Earlier on in the week, yes.
Earlier on in the week.
And then it just said, only joking.
Swan.
Yes, my darling.
Just run me through your morning routine this morning, because you do realise that each morning I come in here and I have me little coffee, me bulletproof coffee.
He has a bulletproof coffee, dear listener, which involves black coffee, a teaspoon of coconut oil, and a
teaspoon of butter.
And a teaspoon of butter. And
two shots of caffeine. And it gets me through.
You're loving it. You're loving it. Sick. But you used up. It was actually my coconut oil that you used up.
That's right.
And then yesterday you didn't have the coconut oil, and we were having a conversation. You'd run out. We were having a conversation about, could I use coconut flakes and strain it? It's not quite the same thing.
I tried that. It's no good.
It's not as good.
Dear listener, it's no good.
Don't
whiz up coconut flakes for your coffee.
And I was at home yesterday and I thought, the big fella, he's not going to remember coconut oil tomorrow. I just
millions,
know it.
Millions.
Yes. So I got my coconut oil out of the cupboard and I thought, in the morning, I'm going to forget. I'm going to forget to bring it in for the big fella. Mm-hmm. And so what did I do? I put it in the fridge and I put my earrings on top of it. In the fridge. And like clockwork, I was walking out this morning and I touched my earlobes and I thought, oh, I need my earrings. Where are they? In the fridge with the coconut oil.
Well done.
And here is the coconut oil. I better go and make myself a coffee. Tell you what, Swan, you must have a big fridge, because they are huge earrings.
Correct. They're ghetto fabulous.
Big.
Get more Chrissy, Sam and Brownie on Facebook and Instagram. Made for Melbourne. Nova.
Yeah, that's right. Here's what you're waking up to. And first of all, I'm going to say happy birthday to young Leo, Chrissy Swan's magnificent son. And a Baldwin Tigers, little junior football star as well.
Yes, got the email yesterday. We're in discussions.
Very good. I guess sign him up, get him on the dotted line. I'll be having a chat to some of my peeps down at Baldwin's to get him over the line for 2007.
Very nice.
What's the contract for Leo? What's he asking for?
You know, that's probably confidential information,
okay,
Dino.
Fair.
Apparently he's upped it. Pine and can of Coke wasn't enough. Gonna have to up it, but well done, Leo. Happy 8th birthday, champion. Have a good day at school. Now, Swan, AFL, it's a draft today, but I'll talk about that at 6:20.
What do you mean it's the draft today? Isn't the draft finished?
No, the national draft. So all the youngsters. This is where all the youngsters go into the lottery. So a big day for a lot of the 18-year-olds in this state and around the country as well. So very exciting day.
Right.
But the big news of the day in the football. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we saw the two of the GWS administrators were suspended for 12 months, Swan. For allegedly hiding Lachie Whitfield, who's a GWS star.
Yeah.
Because he had allegedly taken illicit drugs. So they're hiding him away from drug testers. So Lachie Whitfield was suspended for 6 months.
Yes.
Graham Allen and Craig Lambert suspended for 12 months.
Yes.
Well, the AFL's tried to penalise GWS as well, which is a bit bizarre because GWS are the AFL's club.
Yeah.
But for fairness for all the other clubs, you know, the AFL has said to GWS, there had to be better governance and better protocols, so therefore you have to be have to get a penalty.
Make
an example. So we are going to take draft picks away from you for tonight's national draft. And GWS said, no, that ain't happening. Their board was united. They fought back. Right. So they've almost called the AFL's bluff. So the AFL doesn't have time to prosecute GWS before tonight's draft. So therefore GWS will go in with a full amount of draft picks. And GWS's statement from Dave Matthews or from the heads of GWS was that Graham Allen's and Craig Lambert's handling of the matter was independent of the club and did not conform with the clearly established club protocols, thus in no way relating to a governance failure on behalf of the club, the Giants said. Now, Swan, I'm just going to clarify something here. I find that statement astonishing because Graham Allen and Craig Lambert, who are the administrators, supposedly hid the player. How could they be not following? How could the club be not party to this when Craig Lambert and Graham Allen informed the club on the Monday morning, informed the football department where the medicos were involved, where all the football staff, that Lachie Whitfield was staying at Craig Lambert's place because he had a migraine. So how in the hell they are hiding the player and the club didn't know about it, that astonishes me, the statement, and that suggests to me that GWS will pay a penalty because at the end of the day, Craig Lambert and Graham Allen were the fall guys for Lachie Whitfield. They were backed into a corner. They wanted to, at the end of the day, help the lad out because the young lad, Lachie Whitfield, could potentially have been suspended for 2 years.
That's right.
Or 4 years if it went all the way to ASDA. Mm. Graham Allen, Craig Lambert were happy to do a deal, stand out of football for 12 months. But Swan, the club knew about it. The club knew that Lachie Whitfield was at Craig Lambert's place.
Yes.
So I think the club will pay a penalty.
Perhaps are they buying time, though?
No doubt they are buying time.
Because if they can just get a few more days while this is unresolved, they get the same draft picks as every... You know, they get all the draft picks.
Very good point. The AFL Commission is meeting on December 13, so they will probably be...
And then it's done and dusted then.
A penalty will be determined then. So, yes, of course, smart by GWS to try and hold off so they can get their full... array of draft picks for tonight because there's some really talented youngsters there. So there you go.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, if you're walking past a park in the city and it suddenly smells like a Bob Marley concert, it's because dope smokers are allowed to blaze up, according to the Herald Sun.
For real?
In what? Parks. Under police noses.
What are you doing tonight, Brown?
Dino's on Google Maps as we check, just trying to find out where that park is.
Wow.
They're protesters, right? But they're apparently allowed to do this. And the great thing in the newspaper, the headline is Howls of Protest as Stoners Unite to Bong On in City Gardens. And the picture is, it's a picnic rug. And there's a giant dice, man. Giant dice because, whoa, let's roll it. There's several huge bongs. There's a pack of half-eaten chicken twisties, a greasy bag of Maccas, and a pair of scissors. What would you need a pair of scissors for?
Crafts.
Go, Melbourne.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.
That's right, AFL draft tonight, Swan. So all the 18-year-olds in the country will be all excited. Be a bit nervous day for them. They've finished their school exams. And
is it an event?
It is a big event now. It's in Sydney tonight.
Okay.
It's become a really big event. And a few of the youngsters go up there. They fly up there for the night and they sit there with their families and...
Do they know the outcome?
No, they do not. They don't even know. So the number one draft, most likely the number one draft pick will be Huey McCluggage from Warrnambool. I actually played with his old man. Play with his old man Sam, and his uncle Ryan was the captain of my under 18 premiership team.
Huey McCluggage,
dairy farmer, the boy from Allensford, just outside of, on the outskirts of Warrnambool.
McCluggage.
That sounds made up, doesn't it?
It does.
McCluggage.
The kid's a star. So he may go number one, or Andrew McGrath most likely will go number one. So exciting time. He's from Sandringham Dragons.
And what does it mean if you're the number one draft pick? It means you're the best of that group, that generation.
Well, you're regarded as the best in the country, that's right, for your generation, for your year. And last year, Swan, Patrick Wietering from Carlton was the number one draft pick.
And how did he go this year?
Well, he had a really good year.
Did he?
And his base package last year for being the number one draft pick was, or being a first-round pick, $74,740 plus, if you play seniors every match, $3,660 per game.
Plus cashies.
So not bad straight out of school, Swan.
Not bad.
So you can make up to close to 150 grand as an 18-year-old.
God, I was making about $120 a week on Aus study.
Welcome, Aus study.
Hello, Aus study. Aus study. There you go. Yeah, well, Swan, back in my day, it was... I made a little bit more than that, but 26 grand, I think it was, when I was drafting my first year.
Yeah, but given that it was 1850.
Yeah, 1850, long time ago. Well, Swan, I had a different one, though, because my dad, Brian, played for Fitzroy. Mm. He's a Lion.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the thing called the father and son rule in the AFL.
I love the father and son father rule. And it's son. So delightfully old-fashioned.
That's right. And back in the days, you had to play qualified father-son rule. Your dad had to have played 50 games. My father, Brian, Pop Bizza, played 51.
Hey.
Oh, so he got me over the line for the Lions.
Did he do that on purpose?
I think he would have liked to have played more than 51 games.
Oh, okay.
But,
that's a good point.
good question, that's one. That's all right.
Pop Bizza, I love you.
Oh,
you
know, man, Mirza lassoed him and took him back home to the farm. But anyway, so Fitzroy moved to Brisbane. Of course, to become the Brisbane Lions.
Yes.
So, but with that, all the rights to the Suns, potential Suns coming through, went to Brisbane. So all of a sudden I was qualified as a Brisbane father and son. And
was that weird?
It was a little bit weird. So Brisbane came to me and said, we want to take you as a father and son.
Yep.
Which I can either agree to or not agree to. Mm. Or I can go in the draft. You have to register for the draft about 2 or 3 weeks before the actual draft night. And I remember sitting in Dad's office at work, and it was 1:50 p.m. The paperwork has to be in by 2 p.m.
Wow.
The Lions said, I want to take me as a father and son.
How old were you? Just let me have the
picture. I was only 16 then, because you could get taken as a 17-year-old.
You're
not
zits,
allowed to anymore.
Zits, oh, bowl haircut. Zits.
Middle part.
Zits, but strong. Especially with a bowl haircut, Swan.
Bowl haircut. How tall were you at that stage?
I would have been about 6'3", 6'4".
Magnificent.
Girls love me. Anyway, the...
Bulletproof.
Self-esteem, no issue. Actually, none, ever.
It's actually probably untrue. But anyway, so I sat in the old man's office. You've got the paperwork for the draft.
Yep.
To register for the draft, where you can go anywhere around the country.
Yep.
Or the paperwork for the Brisbane Lions to go as a father and son. And I wanted it. Hawthorn were really keen on me.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't give a guarantee, same as the Western Bulldogs. And I really wanted to stay in Melbourne, of course, because close to mum and dad in Warrnambool.
You're only a child.
But I couldn't get the guarantee, yet I had the guarantee from Brisbane.
Lions.
I'm thinking, geez, you know, you've got the 27 grand there, hey? Money in the pocket.
That's a lot money, of cheese and bacon balls.
I didn't know what to, as a young boy, you're not super confident about your career. You think, I'd at least want to have a guarantee.
Yeah.
And I said to the old man, what do you reckon? Because Brisbane were no good. They just finished last. And I said, and the old man's logic was, he turns to me, goes, you know what, Jonathan? I think it'd be a good thing for you to go up to the Lions. Lee Matthews just come on board. He said, the Lions are really going places.
Wow.
And I said, going places? They just won the wooden spoon. are you taking your pills this morning, old fella? But he goes, no, they are really going places. They've got a really good young list, Michael Voss, these sort of blokes. He said, you should sign up with the Brisbane Lions and go up north. He said, me and mum will support you. We know we'll miss you, but go up there.
And then, wow, he's like, it's like Nostra Pop Bizza.
That's
he
knew. Right. Yes. So I signed the paperwork at 1:59, faxed it through to the Lions, didn't fax through the AFL paperwork to the draft, and we won a premiership within 12 months.
Wow!
After coming from the wooden spoon, so it was Nostradamus from Pop Bizza.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that is awesome.
There you go.
And was has anyone from Hawthorn or the Western Bulldogs ever gone, mate, what were we thinking?
Oh, they lost their jobs.
Nova, Chrissy Swan, Sam Pang, and Jonathan Brown.
Okay, so get ready.
Chrissy's celebrity stuff.
Kanye West, it's really serious. He's had a psychotic break. Like, it's a really serious mental illness.
Yeah.
And I think when serious things like this happen, we go straight to rapper Akon, who suggests that the reason that this has happened is because he's been cursed. Like other men who get involved with Kardashian women.
Oh.
Later on, he says, when you think about it, he goes, you know, I don't want to deny it, but I don't want to promote it either. When you think about it, all the evidence points to it.
What?
I mean, come on.
So what's the evidence?
No what evidence. Points to
it? No evidence, so no history?
Akon. I'm gonna talk to a doctor, not Akon, if you don't hardly mind.
Has he had a history of
not that
illness?
I know of. Do
Akon?
You know?
No, I didn't think so.
No, Kanye.
Kanye.
Not that I know of, but, you know, it just goes to show that mental illness can strike anyone at any time. And it's a very valid reason to take a break, just like if you break your leg.
Yep.
Exactly.
Now, Mariah Carey is my queen. K-W-E-E-N. Cannot get enough of her. She's gone on Ellen DeGeneres.
Is she the biggest diva in the world?
I would say so. Yeah. Would you agree, Jack? Yeah. Yes. Because Jack is the authority on divas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's number two, Jack?
Who would be number two?
Beyonce.
Beyonce is myself.
the top three are Mariah Carey.
Number one by the end of the show.
Beyonce Knowles and Jackie the Lacker. So Mariah's gone on Ellen. She arrived in a red satin robe and everybody was applauding and she slipped it off to reveal her big brown titties.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah.
What, out?
Pretty much. Not Jesus. Leaving much to the imagination.
Crikeys.
Anyway, she sat down and, of course, Ellen.
She's my new number one.
Ellen.
Oh, look at that.
Ellen had to go there with the whole James Packer thing, but it got hashtag orkies.
You know, everything happens for a reason. Things are the way they are.
But he didn't want to be in the docuseries at all, and yet he's in it. You see him, is he...
Allegedly.
Allegedly he didn't want to be in it.
Well...
Or allegedly he's in it. He's in it, because I saw it.
You did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of difficult to talk about at this moment, so I'm just going to compliment you on these decorations once again.
Uh-huh.
Because they are fabulous, and all right. I'm here.
Yeah. She doesn't want to talk about it. And I reckon from that, it sounds like that's the reason they broke up, is that he's like, I don't want to be in your stupid series. Mm. And in fact, I break up with you.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
He seems pretty private.
Yes.
You don't see him pop up in many interviews.
No. Speaking of which, guess who I saw on the corner of Toorak Road and Williams Road yesterday? Kate Fisher, who's got a new name now, which I can't remember. But, you know, she's James Packer's ex.
That's right.
She was there. It was good to see her.
Well, she was in the papers a few weeks ago.
She was indeed.
Doesn't do much these days.
Yes, she does. She's got a normal life.
I'm saying in the public.
No. She shuns it. But it was good to see you.
Chrissy, Sam and Brownie's Christmas Party Confessions.
Hey, Santa. Want a party?
It's that dirty, dirty time of the year where Christmas parties across the world are happening and people play up, Jonathan Brown.
Oh, my word, they do.
They really do. Tracy from Bendigo, tell us about the time you played up at the Christmas party.
Well, I was about 19 and only been married for a few months, so maybe a bit naive about what goes on in the real world, and rocked up to the Christmas party to meet all the management team's wives, and none of them were there, and they were all... I found out later they're all into wife swapping and they all had escorts and so suffice to say, I didn't turn up back to work the next day.
Didn't you? You were out of there.
That's definitely worth.
I freaked out.
$1,000, Trace.
Awesome, thank you.
You can put that towards therapy.
Hey everybody, it's Friday. And what does that mean? Well, it's almost the weekend, everybody. And what do we do?
Cheat sheet.
just like the amazing quote from Independence Day.
I'm
Thanks to Liza for hooking up last week, you're rocking superstar. This week, recovering from my sinoplasty, which is an operation to sound more like this.
Have you ever bought or rented a video that wasn't quite right?
Monday, Sam had some concerns about the cricket.
There's going to be a pink ball used at night. Now, one of the six changes was the wicketkeeper, Matthew Wade. One of the things I want from my wicketkeeper, well, I don't want this.
Wade and the pink ball aren't a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I'm getting better every year. Obviously, I'm colourblind, so I don't. It just takes a little bit longer to pick the ball up.
Chrissy told us about back in the day when her mum and dad bought a house.
Mum comes home and she's making a cup of coffee on the bench, and Dad says, "Love, what did it go for?" And she goes, "Oh, $151,000." And he goes, "Jesus, what sort of idiot would have bought it for that?" She just stirred her Nescafe Blend 43 and she said, "You."
Tom Gleisner came in and told us how Sam won Have You Been Paying Attention?
Number one, Have You Been Paying Attention?
He stumbles twice across occasionally when we have some real idiots on.
I believe he won the one that I was on.
We then played the game on radio.
A record $27 million has just been paid for an apartment in what suburb? Sam.
Well, Brownie knows you bought it.
And then Chrissy went rogue with this.
Good news.
What?
In fact, huge news for the Bachelor Richie. He's finally got to see Alex's what?
Oh, Swan.
Chrissy, please.
Oh, Swan. Oh,
are we in delay just out of just?
Get ready, Dino.
Cervix?
Oh.
We talked about Brownie's wedding.
Here we go. What was on the menu at your wedding?
It was chicken or chicken or beef.
Do you remember your wedding?
No.
We played Dead or Alive.
Eric. Dead or Alive.
Let's do the twist.
Dead.
Chubby Checker.
Yep.
Incorrect.
Wow. Oh my God, it's a triumph for fat people everywhere.
After this clip on Have You Been Paying Attention with Dr. Chris Brown.
What's wrong with your jaw?
I was born with this, seriously. My mum had to have a caesarean to get me out. There's no laughing matter, Sam. No, I mean, you bring it up as though it's something, you know, lighthearted, but this has been a constant burden my entire life.
Boo f*** who, mate.
He then came on the show.
So. Mate, that jaw is not, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't even think it's handsome. Mm.
Just too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I saw my dad the other day. My dad came up to me and said, looked at me, I hadn't seen him for a couple of weeks, and he looked at me and said, "Oh, have you got some wisdom teeth problems?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, your jaw's swollen." I said, "No, that's just it. That's how it is."
That's your dad.
You're responsible for this. Don't claim that's a medical problem.
We also played Dead or Alive with him too.
John Fane, dead or alive?
I'm going to say alive.
No, he passed away, but he's still doing a radio show on ABC. So that's...
Megan Gale came on and we asked the big question. Like, who's your favourite wrestler?
Can I go retro wrestler?
Oh, yeah. That's all we do.
That's all we do.
Okay. I did like Andre the Giant. Oh!
Sam and Brownie were rapt about their contribution with celeb stuff.
I felt we were the heroes of this segment.
Did you?
Yeah, we were the heroes of that dish.
Sam and Brownie had this epic debate.
Which one is Milo and which one is Otis?
I don't even...
I believe I'm Milo.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, you're not. I'm Milo. All right, sorry.
Anyways, let's straighten up. This one.
Big fella thinks he's Milo. I'm Milo. If anyone could see us would know I'm Milo.
Well, I've got a bit of Milo Kerrigan about me.
That's true.
And Brownie had this amazing technique about how to fall to sleep.
You play the nine, you count your holes. So you go through
and you can imagine.
Count your shots. I'm sure the callers would have some stories about how they get to sleep, Swan. Is this unusual? Have you got a better meditative technique to get to sleep? Because now
can
I'm
gonna tell you, we are not going to get one single call more boring than playing nine holes of golf.
How do you get to sleep?
I record that last segment and just keep playing it.
Noel.
Noel, what do you do to go to sleep?
When all else fails, I turn it over to Kiss FM.
Santo analysed the impossible.
And in Sydney, where a guy keeps walking into a mirror, he needs to watch himself. 31.
Wow. That's
doesn't quite make sense either.
We're not supposed to
Santo
make sense.
Has conceptual problems with it.
Well,
so
let's get a critical assessment from Santo.
You got to watch yourself, but then... So, if you're looking into the mirror, you actually see that you're there, don't you? But you can't just...
Get Larkin on the phone, he'll tell
you. You can't just walk into a piece of glass and say, you should have seen yourself, because that you know that it's a mirror. He walked into it. It doesn't matter.
Bernie Vince was on.
You know what I've just realised? Right, we've been talking for maybe 10 minutes. I've only just realised that he's had a go at Movember. Did you even notice?
Not a word of a lie. My moustache is better than yours.
And we talked about the skinfold test.
I had one of those tests. I think I came in at 500 and then I never went back to the gym. It was part of a gym assessment and they got out the calipers and they're just grabbing enormous rolls. I'm like, you can see, you don't need a set of calipers to measure. Use your eyes. Why do you think I'm at the gym?
How bad's that gym assessment, that first one? I remember I did one too. So they didn't have calipers. They had the jaws of life.
What was your fat part of your body?
The quads, the thunder thighs.
The thighs. What's your fat part of the body, Brown?
The fat part of Brownie's was his wallet. That was always, the worst thing of the pre-season for Brownie.
A pub came up.
I knew there was a pub called the Punters Club.
Yes, previously. Yeah. Now, it was in Brunswick Street. A bit too grungy for Brownie.
Well, apparently that's where P did some of his best work after dark.
What do you mean too grungy for Brownie? He was passed out in the gutter in Warrnambool.
That's true. passed out in a gutter looking up at a pet store going, I'm going to own that one.
Chrissy had a surprise for Sam.
You look at me and you tell me honestly, would I ever do anything that would make you uncomfortable or upset?
Well, you bring in those housewives of Melbourne every bloody week.
Why would I trust you now?
Chrissy's surprise for Sam was the director of Weekend at Bernie's and First Blood. Stallone made a simple change to the movie that made John Rambo's life and ours change in a big way.
What about Sylvester Stallone? He has a good popular sense. He knows what audiences like to see and what they don't like to see. Sylvester said, Ted, can I talk to you for a second? I said, sure, what's up? He said, listen, we put this character through so much. He gets chased by dogs. He gets shot and he has to sew his arm up himself. He jumps off cliffs into trees. He goes through freezing water. And now we're going to kill him? The audience is going to hate us, Ted. They're really going to hate us.
Wow.
I said, you got a point. I said, I think it's over the top. It was based on the force at the time. Vietnam veterans were committing suicide at an alarming rate. 1,000 a month were attempting suicide. 350 at least were successful. Can you imagine? So that's why we always conceived of First Blood being a suicide mission. Yeah. There's no place for him. They didn't want him. The left wing thought they were killing baby killers, and the right wing thought they were losers. Mm. And so there's no place for them, so they committed suicide.
Ted, did he also come up and say, hey, Ted, I'd like to make about 5 more of these, by the way. Keep the character alive?
Also this morning, Chrissy had a bit of an earworm and she kept singing it out loud. She's forgot it by now, so let's just put it back in there, shall we?
Deep within my heart lies a melody.
Good luck singing that for the rest of the day, Melbourne. Have a great weekend. Bye!
Missed a show? Check out Chrissy, Sam and Brownie for breakfast. Made for Melbourne. Nova 100.